chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16. We will read the entire chapter. The word of God at Exodus 16. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them, whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, At even, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that we murmur against us? And Moses said, This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against Him. And what we are, your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, Say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for He hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man, according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, Let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, This is that which the Lord hath said, Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe that ye will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning, as Moses bade. And it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, Eat that today, for today is the Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place, let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. And Moses said, This is the thing which the Lord commandeth. Fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness, when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. And Moses said unto Aaron, Take a pot, and put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years, until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came into the borders of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is the 10th part of an ephah. Thus far we read the Word of God. On the basis of that passage, in accordance with all of God's Word, we have the instruction of the Catechism in Lord's Day 50. Lord's Day 50. Question 125. Which is the fourth petition? And the answer is this. Give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge Thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry nor even Thy gifts can profit us without Thy blessing, and therefore that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in Thee. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the model prayer that our Lord taught us is a model to us in many different respects, one of which is the very order in which we pray our petitions to God. We've made this point already before at the beginning of our treatment of the Lord's Prayer, but we make it again this morning. Our prayers begin with God. That's first. And then we bring to God our needs specifically. We made that point at the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, but we make that point this morning again as we begin the second section of the Lord's Prayer, the second section that deals specifically with our needs. We make that point again because so often our nature is to do just the opposite. Our nature is to go to God in prayer and directly bring to Him the many needs and cares that we have of this earth. But we're reminded, God first, and then us. Today we begin that second section of the prayer, the fourth petition, with the petition, Give us this day our daily bread. And as we begin this second section of the Lord's Prayer, it's helpful to ask the question, why is this first when it comes to the petitions that have to do with our needs specifically? This petition, Give us this day our daily bread, comes after the prayer that God's name would be hallowed, after the prayer that God's kingdom would come, and after the prayer that God's will would be done. But then before the other matters that have to do with our needs, the forgiveness of sins and the keeping us from temptation. We ask the question, why? And we bring this up at the very least to point out to us the importance of this petition of the Lord's Prayer. What we need to remember is that this petition, which comes after those first three petitions, always is prayed in subservience to those first three petitions. In other words, this petition serves the goal of accomplishing the first three petitions. How is that the case? For example, with the second petition, Thy kingdom come. Beloved, if we don't have our daily bread, if we can't survive, if we can't bear children, how will God's kingdom come? How will it come in our generations? How will our children be gathered into the church? This petition is always prayed with a goal to accomplishing the other petitions. At the very least, that impresses upon us the significance of this petition of the Lord's Prayer. Yes, it has to do with bread, our physical needs, but at the same time, very important and deeply spiritual. So we look at this fourth petition this morning, the beginning of the second section of the Lord's Prayer, under the theme, Praying for Our Daily Bread. Praying for our daily bread. We notice first, a prayer for physical needs. Secondly, a prayer for God's blessing. And thirdly, a prayer of trust in God. Praying for our daily bread, a prayer for our physical needs, a prayer for God's blessing, and a prayer of trust in God. One of the six petitions of the Lord's Prayer is a prayer for daily bread, very simply, because we need bread. Let's go back this morning to the very beginning of history and God's work of creating all things, and specifically His work of creating man. In Genesis chapter 2, we have a fuller record of the history of God's creation of Adam. In Genesis 7 verse 2, we read, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." In that verse, we have recorded for us the two aspects that make up who we are as humans, human beings. There is, in the first place, an earthly aspect to us, and in the second place, a spiritual aspect of us. Those two are recorded in that verse. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. We are of this earth. And therefore, for our continued existence, we need sustenance. We need bread. We have the cares of this earth because we are made of this earth. That's why God created in the Garden of Eden all of those trees that Adam could eat from, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. From God's point of view, and therefore what our point of view must be as well, is that our bodies and our physical existence is important. That's driven home by several things. What we just talked about, God's creation of us at the beginning. But also from this, in a few weeks we will have opportunity to start over the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 1. What is thy only comfort in life and in death? What's the answer to that, that Lord's Day 1 gives? It's this, that I, with body and soul, in life and death, belong to Jesus Christ. Our very salvation is wrapped up with our physical bodies as well. And that's seen as well by the fact that one day Jesus Christ will raise this physical body. The point is this. God created us of this earth. And therefore, our bodies are important. And therefore, we need, for our continued existence, the things of this earth. Thus, this petition of the Lord's Prayer. This petition of the Lord's Prayer is a prayer for our physical needs. Now, there have been some who have tried to explain this fourth petition in a different way. They have tried to explain this petition as referring to spiritual bread, a prayer for spiritual sustenance and spiritual strength and spiritual nourishment. They say, how could this petition be dealing with something so menial as food and the things of this earth, insignificant compared to the greater and spiritual things that we have to take care of in our lives? And in a certain sense, there's an element of truth to that. There is a spiritual aspect in that regard. John 6 does say that Jesus is the bread of life, and all of the things of this earth do point us in a very real way to the plethora of spiritual gifts that the Lord Jesus Christ bestows upon us. There's an element of truth to that. But understand this, the prayer, first and foremost, is a petition for our earthly needs, our physical needs. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we are not simply praying for bread, physical substance that we call bread. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we are praying for all of the basic physical needs that we have of this earth. And that's the explanation of the Catechism. Give us this day our daily bread. And the explanation of the bread is this, that is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body. Bread is simply a picture, a symbol of all of these basic necessities that we have of this earth. And it's a good picture of all of our needs. Bread is one of the most basic foods of this earth. It's a staple. When it comes to what we need for food, bread will do. It's not luxurious, but it gets the job done when it comes to what we need. It's a picture of all of the physical, basic necessities. Not luxurious, but simply our needs. It does include food, bread. We are praying that God would give us the basic necessities of food. But if you think about it, there's quite a bit that's included in that petition if it's a prayer for the basic necessity of food. It's not the case that the food that we have on our tables simply appears there like it appeared for the Israelites in the Old Testament in the wilderness. There's so much that stands behind that daily bread. So that included in this petition includes all of these things that stand behind receiving the daily bread, the food of this earth. It starts with the planting of a seed. It continues with the necessary good weather. It concludes with all of the processing of the food. All of those things, in a certain sense, are included in a prayer for our daily bread when it comes to the food that we need for our existence. Included in this petition is our basic need for food. Included in this petition are all of the other basic necessities of this life. We're reminded of this so clearly in the light of the weather in the past few days. Just like that, It's winter. It feels like winter, finally. Snow on the ground. Bitter cold. Basic necessity of this earth is that we have shelter from that cold. That when we go outside, we have clothes on our backs to keep us warm. All things necessary for the body. Not luxury, but the basic necessities of this life. That's the bread in the petition, "Give us this day our daily bread." But the Lord Jesus Christ, when He taught us to pray this petition, includes more than just a prayer for bread. In fact, it seems to be that He emphasizes not simply the bread, the necessities of this life, but the daily nature of receiving those necessities. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, when you hear that petition read, it seems like the Lord Jesus Christ is being repetitive, emphasizing the one-day nature of what we must ask for. This day, our daily bread. It seems like He's being repetitive in order to emphasize the point, but that's not the case. The Lord Jesus Christ is setting forth two distinct ideas when He uses those words in the petition. He's talking about the how much and the how often of our physical needs of this earth. Give us this day, that refers to how much we need. Give us this day our daily bread. The daily refers to the how often. We'll lay that out right now. And both of these can be explained by the manna in the Old Testament. We pray, give us this day our bread. That "this day" there is referring specifically to the amount that we are desiring from God. Every person needs a different amount when it comes to the physical needs of this earth. When Jesus says, "Give us this day," He is saying, what you are praying for is not luxury, but the appropriate amount for your needs in the circumstances of your life. As a father, you're called to provide for your children and your family. The appropriate amount for a family of eight is different than the appropriate amount for the family of three. That's the point with the "this day" in the petition. How much? And that's seen from the Old Testament with the manna. A couple of the verses in that chapter talk about some gathering more and some gathering less. Each person, each family, gathered what they needed, the appropriate amount for their situation in life. That's what we're praying for in the first place. Our physical needs, but then the appropriate amount of those needs. But then Jesus goes on and says, give us this day our daily bread. And that's a little bit different. That's talking about the length of time. Daily, just what it says. We don't pray, God, provide us with a week's worth of food or a month's worth of food. Our prayer is not even that we pray that God would make sure that my three-month-old child, who I know is going to grow out of these clothes in a couple of months, will have clothes 4 months down the road when she's 7 months old. The prayer is for one day at a time. Now, that does not mean in any way that we can't plan ahead, that we can't use sanctified wisdom to look to the future and see the needs that we will have and then plan accordingly. But the point is this. We don't assume that down the road that will be there. We don't put our trust in the plans that we make. We look right now and we go to God and we say, the appropriate amount, basic needs, just for one day. And that was clear to those saints in the Old Testament. Every single day, they got the bread they needed for that day. And if they tried to look into the future and tried to do something on their own and gather more, what was the result? It stank, it rotted, and it was worthless. By that, God was teaching them, and God teaches us this morning, to trust in God alone for His care over us one day at a time. So far, we're just looking at the petition itself, the words of the petition. We've seen what bread is, we've seen what this day is, we've seen what daily is. But there's one more thing that we want to call our attention to before we get into the Catechism's teaching concerning this petition, and that is the hour. Give us this day our daily bread. We've made this point before in connection with the petitions of the Lord's Prayer. We must not think and pray individualistically. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, by the virtue of the fact that we pray that, we are saying, I am desirous to help one another when it comes to the needs of this earth. And that's why we have many things in place where we can help one another when it comes to the cares of this earth. We have in our church the Caring and Sharing Committee. We have, more importantly, the deacons who do their work of collecting the alms and distributing the same. We have many other collections that are geared towards this very point, helping when it comes to the needs of this earth. We cannot be, we must not be, selfish in our prayer for the cares of this earth. We think about others. It's the love that we have for one another, which is simply the love of Jesus Christ for one another. This is the prayer that the Lord taught us. It's an expression of our love for one another when we say and when we act upon, give us this day our daily bread. That's the prayer on the surface. We've unpacked, more or less, the basic words and ideas of the petition itself. But now we need to see this morning that this petition is really a prayer for God's blessing upon what He has given us and upon what we do to receive our daily bread. That's what the Catechism makes clear, and that's what we now look at in the second point of the sermon. And we do this by first seeing that God uses different means to give us this daily bread. That's something that we readily understand, is it not? We pray, give us this day our daily bread. We don't pray that and then sit back and we say, God's going to make food appear on my table and just happen to be the case that our bills will be paid and the list goes on and on. Of course not. God has given us certain means through which He provides us with the basic necessities of this life. Number one, work. Very simply, work. As fathers, as husbands, as those who are single in the church, if it's your calling to provide for your family or yourself, the way in which you do that, the ordinary way that God uses, is the means of work. Through that, God provides us with our daily bread. Every husband has heard this. One of the major points of the marriage form when you get married you heard this. I'll read from the marriage form, section on the duty of the husband. And since it is God's command that the man shall eat his bread in the sweat of his face, therefore you are to labor diligently and faithfully wherein God hath set you, that you may maintain your household honestly and likewise have something to give to the poor. Straight from the opening chapters of Genesis, God uses work to give us our daily bread. And that's what the Catechism recognizes as well when it says and refers to our care or industry. Care or industry, making the point that there are things we must do, called to do by God, through which He provides us with what we need. Work, that's number one. Another means that God uses to provide us with our daily bread is the means of benevolence. We brought this up a moment ago in connection with the plural of the petition. But when we talked about it a moment ago, we talked about it from the viewpoint of helping others. We pray this with a desire to help others. Now we look at it from the other point of view. And that is this. It may be the case that God has so willed it and carried it out in His providence that one of the means that you will receive to get your daily bread is the means of benevolence. And the point that's worth making is this. Receive that help willingly. Because it's the mercies of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. It's God Himself doing exactly what God says He will do in providing us with the necessities of this life. It may be the case that is your circumstance in life. And the calling then you have is not to fight that, but recognize that it's the love of Jesus Christ coming through those gifts and the way that God has so ordained it to help you when it comes to the things of this earth. It doesn't substitute work, obviously, but it goes along with that for many of us when it comes to the necessities of this life. Those two means. But we have so much. And that's worth making that point this morning too. We hardly know what it means to pray this petition. Give us this day our daily bread. We know that in this week, barring something extremely catastrophic, we will have food on our tables all week long. We probably all have enough in our kitchens right now to provide us with food for at least a week or two. We hardly know what it means because we have so much when it comes to the things of this earth. And that's why it's imperative this morning that we understand this important aspect of this prayer. Not only is it a prayer that God would provide us with these basic necessities one day at a time, but it's a prayer that God's blessing would rest upon what we have been given and upon what we do to receive those gifts. Everything we have, all of the needs of this earth, are worthless, futile, good for nothing, if the blessing of God does not rest upon them. Notice that in the Catechism, that we may thereby acknowledge Thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry, our work, nor even Thy gifts can profit us without Thy blessing. Petition is a prayer for our physical needs, but it's a petition that God's blessing would rest upon what God has given us. Thus, the title of the second point, and thus, the teaching of the Catechism. We make this point because we can, back up a moment, we make this point, and in doing so, we have to distinguish between two things. We need to distinguish between the blessing of God and the gifts of God. Both of those things are brought up in the Catechism, right side by side. Nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. Those two are not the same thing. What we need to understand is that the blessing of God is not found in things, is not to be found in the gifts that He gives us or the gifts that anyone has. The blessing of God is an attitude of God. The blessing of God is His favor. Our prayer is that God would give us the things of this earth and that when He gives them, He bestows upon us His favor with them. He gives us these things in His love for us. We have to make that clear, beloved, because there are others in the world and the wicked that have their daily bread, that have the gifts of this earth, and all of their cares supplied for. They work and they receive in abundance, many of them, their daily bread. But the blessing of God does not rest upon those gifts. And therefore, they are of no profit for them. It's just the opposite. All of those things are used for selfish reasons, and to the end of their destruction. Psalm 73. All of the things set them on slippery paths that are leading to their destruction, exactly because the blessing of God is not upon them. That's what we desire, that we have our daily bread, that God gives us those things, and that they come with God's blessing. And there will be certain things that will be manifested if the blessing of God is upon the things God has given us. Number one, we will acknowledge that everything we have comes from God. Catechism says that we may thereby acknowledge Thee to be the only fountain of all good. If everything we have, if our daily bread will profit us, it starts there. We must say, everything I have, even though I may have worked and worked hard, 65, 70 hours this week with a couple of side jobs along with that, all of that is still from the hand of God. What does the Catechism say? The only fountain of all good. If what God has given us will ever profit us, we have to have that attitude where we say, no matter what, no matter the means God uses, it's all from His hand. And then the second thing that will manifest the blessing of God upon the gifts that we have is when we take that daily bread and we press it into the service of God's name. Just the opposite of the wicked. The wicked take their daily bread, the need, the cares of this earth that they have supplied, and they use it for themselves, or for this, or for that. What we must say is this: that food that I'm going to eat this afternoon, in a very real way, we say, will give me strength, so that through that strength and everything I do on this day, the worship of God's name, tomorrow when I go to school, when I stay at home, when I do the laundry, when I go to work, when I do this or that, the strength that I have from that food may be served to this great purpose of bringing glory to God's name. That's when our daily bread and the gifts will profit us. When they come to us with God's blessing, and in return, we use them all to the service of God's name. It's a prayer for our daily needs. It's a prayer for God's blessing. But in the end, beloved, it's a prayer of trust in God. It is, after all, a prayer for daily bread. And what that more than anything impresses upon us is that we must daily trust in God. That's the end of the catechism, and therefore that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in Thee. So contrary to what we want to do. We look at our circumstances in life as fathers, husbands, and we say, what can I do to make ends meet? I can find this job. I can find these hours. I can fix it myself. I can do this or I can do that. Nothing wrong with that. Of course not. But the temptation always is that we put our trust in our own abilities and we try to do what we can do to provide us with what we need. We work hard. We're called to work hard and continue to work hard. But the way to live a life not of peace and a life not of contentment is to put your trust in your own strength. The only way to go forth day by day content, to say with the proverb, give me neither riches nor poverty, to be happy with what God has given us, is to place all of our trust in God, that He will indeed provide us with our daily bread. And if He does not, which may be the case someday, I'm sure there have been Christians in the past who have starved and not had the necessities of this life. And that's when we remember this petition in subservience to the others. Through that, God's name will be glorified. And we say the same. In riches and poverty, day by day, God will provide for us. But in the end, God's name will be glorified. We trust in God. The Israelites had to trust in God with the manna. Clear as can be that when they tried to do something, when they tried to put their trust in what they could do, it failed. What did they try to do? They tried to gather food for 2 days or for the week when it wasn't the night before the Sabbath. Any trust in God or in self for them failed. And the same will be true for us. We trust in God, but we do so with the confidence that God will be glorified through the means that He gives us, the things of this earth. We are confident of that very simply because God has always cared for us. God's cared for us with things more important than the things of this earth. The things dealing with life and death itself, sin in our spiritual lives. God has cared for us in that regard. He's given us salvation in Jesus through His shed blood. If we know that, beloved, if we know God has given us everything we need when it comes to our eternal destiny and our life with Jesus Christ, how much more can we be confident that He will do the same when it comes to the things of this earth? It's with that hope, it's with that trust that we make this prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Confident that God will care for us, and through that all, His name would be honored, and His name would be glorified. Amen.